My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Best Quality Vacuum, the duck feed show about Breaking Bad, El Camino, and Better Call Saul.
And this week we're talking about Salud, which was written by Peter Gould and Jennifer Hutcheson, directed by Michelle MacLaren, and originally aired on September the 18th, 2011.
Yeah, September 11.
Yep.
And this is a great episode. We're in the full speed zone, as we mentioned. Climax of this season is pure fire.
Yes.
Nonstop.
I love this so much, especially like of the episodes that we've gone back to over the course of this rewatch and talking about it. Like, I just really appreciate everything going on here and the way that it is setting up. Cause like, you could be forgiven when you see, you know, the Ted stuff coming up or thinking, all right, so which way is this going? Like, okay, what are they doing here? Everything is serving its purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really masterfully planned.
It's hitting everything on so many cylinders. Yeah.
Yeah. For everything to collide at the end of the season.
Yeah.
You know, it's very good. So this is primarily Gus resolves the war with the cartel. You know, him, Mike, and Jesse fly to Mexico to teach their chemist how to make Walt's formula as a compromise.
Yeah.
And then we get a bunch of very sad character stuff with Walt. You know, he just recently got in that fight with Jesse. And this spills over into his relationship with Junior.
Yeah.
A big Junior highlight episode as well. We don't get a lot of RJ Mitty highlight episodes, but this is one.
Yeah. He's been backgrounded. You know, as higher stakes stuff has gone on, but the stuff here is really poignant.
It's really good.
Yeah. And then we've got Ted. Poor Ted.
Yep. Christopher Cousins heads unite. This is the arc. This is like the one, this is setting up for next episode.
Yes.
For, you know, that this is the rising tension plot line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we kind of have a climax, a falling tension and a rising tension.
Mm-hmm.
All three of them in this episode.
Yeah.
Like, it's very well paced. Swapping between these three things. Skyler trying to deal with Ted Beneke, who will not pay his back taxes.
Pay your taxes? I don't want to.
Yeah, just like, well, I don't want to.
You got to give me my floor back. The customers are walking on the pipes.
I don't want to. Yeah. Poor little Beneke.
Yeah. There's not really any production trivia about this one. It's just really solid. And you might be surprised watching this to see just how thoroughly the cartel is taken off the board.
Yeah. 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 I love this, Gus's I won moment, you know, this kind of thing that it's really interesting. We talked about him having this war on multiple fronts. You know, he has Hank and he has the cartel and he knew that was unsustainable.
Yes.
And then he takes care of one of them and feels kind of like king shit. And then he has a new threat, you know, which he doesn't expect, which ultimately gets the better of him.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get more, cartel and Better Call Saul, which is part of the reason why I'm sympathetic. Those plot lines, you know, a big criticism of Better Call Saul is it wastes time on those because we know where they're going.
I like them too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, primarily because the villain Hector, right?
Like
it makes the stuff that we see here much more delicious. Yeah.
These are all performances I'll just watch.
Yeah.
Kind of forever. I wouldn't trade Lalo for anything.
No.
This title has a double meaning as well. Salud is a toast, but it is also Spanish for health.
Yes. It kind of stands to your health, but
yeah,
they're toasting with something that's going to kill everybody.
Will lose their health.
Right.
You can actually see the little meter is going down and they have to find pickups. They're gruffling hot dogs out of the trash, the cartel trash. I had to get 10% back.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Let's just go for it. We have our cold open here. Love this shot, the extremely distant shot of the three of our cast here, Mike, Jesse, and Gus, waiting out in the desert by their car.
Gus has a gift box here and a tiny little prop plane flies in and Jesse is very reluctant to get into it. This is so fucking scary for Jesse. you know, thinking about that and then remembering, you know, how awful that betrayal was when he went to Walt, you know, last episode. This is like the scariest fucking thing you can do.
Oh.
And I love that when we get there, the fears are basically realized. the scariest possible thing that could happen is threatened to happen.
I think maybe Mike could have explained more to him. I don't know what Jesse's ignorance of what's happening brings to this.
Oh, I kind of get it because he needs to act Like, he needs to be impeccable.
Okay.
Like, he needs to act like if he had like a scared look on his face or look nervous, like he just doesn't trust him.
Yeah.
That. He's not great when shit pops out. So he's, if him being anticipating it.
Yeah.
You know, I usually agree with that. Cause I think people just use their words and think most problems get solved.
Yeah.
But, you know, not in this case.
I guess I am, you know, just reminded of him trying to get Tuco to snort the ricin meth.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, it's my secret ingredient. Chili powder. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, bro.
You know, flubs the deception check. Right.
Not a great poker face.
No.
On Jesse.
No.
He gets in though. You know, Gus tells him on the helicopter mic, you know, you can do the, or the plane mic, you can do this.
Yeah. But just like, oh my God, they're flying me to a place. They're going to fly me someplace. And if I have to get back by any other way.
Yeah. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Scariest fucking shit. So we cut over to Walt, Skyler leaving Walt a message. It's the third message. We see his glasses and this bloody paper towel on the counter. Mm-hmm. And she's, you know, I wanted to do this together, but I guess I'm gonna have to do it on my own. Give me a call.
Right.
We cut over to the White House. You know, Skyler Jr. wakes up. It's almost noon. Mm-hmm. Cause it's a birthday. He's sleeping in,
yeah.
You know, do you want breakfast or lunch? Of course he wants breakfast because he's junior.
Yeah,
he loves breakfast.
Yeah. Pancakes would be good. And she sends him out for the paper and he gets to see his disappointment car. Far from being a Dodge Ram, it is, or whatever, Dodge Charger, Challenger, it is a PT Cruiser. Again, the show being really on point with the car characterization going on.
Yes. Yeah. One of the dorkiest looking cars of all time.
Yes.
You know, like all cars suck to me, but like, this is also really fucking dorky.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really underwhelmed. Skyler's talking it up, you know, it's got good safety features. It's got all the, you know, heated everything, all that stuff. You know, do I take it for a test drive? He's like, no, I'm actually really starving.
Yeah.
You know, I care more about pancakes than this gift.
Yes.
You know,
doing a bad job hiding is underwhelm, right?
Yep.
Cut over to Saul's office. He's stewing at his desk, just saying bad idea. This is a bad idea. Just kind of talking to himself as Francesca sends Ted in.
Yep. And you know, Ted gets right to it. You know, what am I here for? Is, well, you know, sad news. Your great aunt Birgit passed away 8 years ago. There are no other heirs. This was in Luxembourg. Because, you know, try to go to your father, but because he's passed away, you're getting this inheritance.
Yes.
You know, and he says, Ted's like, I don't have any relatives who would leave a will. And Saul's like, well, maybe this is good news. You didn't know Aunt Birgit.
Right.
You know, there is no will. You're just getting the estate. You know, and you're getting 600,000. It's the almost, you know, I don't think it's actually the exact. It's really close though.
Yeah.
To the amount.
Yeah. Something up there. But I love the way that he adapts the lie. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, no, you know, nobody who would write me a will. He's like, oh yeah, it's probably unrealistic that they would write a will. And it's like, oh yeah, it worked its way to you. That's why it took so long.
Yeah. Yeah. There is no will. Yeah. That it's, you know, just estate stuff.
Yeah.
And the kind of thing does happen.
Mm-hmm.
It is really stupid that Ted is just like, hell yeah, Nazi. But you know, then you this could happen.
Yeah.
Like, kinda.
Mm-hmm.
So the cartel, we cut over to them, drives Gus, Mike, and Jesse out to the cook site blindfolded.
Mm-hmm.
And, Jesse looks right away at these guys with guns overhead. Like, this is serious fucking business.
Jesse's never been driven blindfolded to a good place.
No. I don't think very few people are.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think the best way to get driven blindfolded to something.
Uh-huh. I mean,
like, I guess it could be a pizza party, but I'd still rather just know.
I'd still rather know, like, and with how carsick I would get in that.
Oh,
yeah. It seems like it would really ruin the pizza party.
Yeah, I wouldn't enjoy the pizza as much.
Yeah.
And the we meet this this real piece of shit, the lead cartel chemist. You know,
Johnny like, credentials the, over here.
Johnny credentials comes up. He's not impressed with Jesse.
No.
You know, and it's important. He's speaking Spanish.
Right.
You know, this whole time. Jesse whispers to Gus, like, hey, there's no, you know, phenyl acetic acid.
Mm-hmm.
The chemist says, oh, we synthesize our own.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse has to whisper to Gus, like, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
I get it from the barrel with the B on it.
Yeah. you know? The chemist is like, any first year chemistry student can do this.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. And there's this great little moment of pride here where Jesse turns it around.
Mm-hmm.
And I love seeing Gus and Mike both just be like, yes, Yeah, this is great.
it's great because yeah. Jesse can't understand, you know, what is being said, but he knows when somebody's being shitty, right?
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, just he lays into him and the guy says, I speak English, you know, perfect English accent. Said, oh, so you understand what asshole means. So go get me my phenolicetic acid, asshole.
Asshole. And then starts talking about how gross the lab is. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, it is filthy. You know, and this probably contributes to their product being worse, you know. He starts telling you, we're not doing anything until this is cleaned up top to bottom. The chemist says, who do you think you are? And he's like, I'm the guy your boss brought here to show you how it's done. So just you stop whining like a little bitch and do what I say. And the chemist does it, and like Mike and Gus just look very proud of him.
Yeah,
really sweet moment.
He is meeting the situation. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So Junior gets to Walt's condo. You know, a little bit worried about his dad not being responsive. Walt's lying in bed. His bed sheet is plastered to his face by blood.
Yes.
And he is, you know, there is no bottom. He's been mixing and matching. He's been mixing
he's got slow pills.
Ball. Yeah.
Yeah. He's had a slow ball. You know, Junior calls, leaves a message saying like, hey, I'm here. I'm really worried about you. I'm going to call 911. And that's where Walt goes and opens the garage door in his underwear.
Yeah.
Letting him in. And he looks like shit. He's been beaten up.
Yeah. So he got in a big fight. And Junior's like, hey, you know, what happened? And they're inside in the living room, and Walt looks just so hungover. He looks terrible. Even just aside from the, you know, the physical wounds and stuff, you know, and Walt, you know, he's on the edge of crying. This is shameful to him. He's got to say, like, I got into a fight, and Junior starts calling Skylar.
Yeah. And he takes him into this is Junior's going to call this out specifically. It's one of the only times in the series where Walt is not being manipulative.
Yes.
You know, he says, hey, you know, can we just keep this between you and me? That's the kind of thing you don't say that to kids.
No.
You know, in good situations, like that's not good behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But he means it.
Yeah.
In this case, he slips a lie in there. He's like, you know, I was gambling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your mother finds out, I'll never hear the end of it.
Yeah.
And that's not true, but the motion behind what he's saying is true.
Yeah. Gambling as stand-in for my meth shenanigans.
Yeah. You know, I was back at it again at Krispy Kreme, you know, and Walt starts crying, you know, and you just get to see his son, like, look him in the eyes, and he just starts, you know, I made a mistake. Like, it's my own fault. I've had this coming. It's my own fault. I'm sorry. And this is, I think this is real.
Yeah.
You know, he realizes, he feels regret for what he's done.
Yeah.
The Walt that pivots over to this Walt and then into confident Walt of next season, we add to egotism impulsiveness as a fatal flaw.
Yes.
And all of the big mistakes he's going to make after this, he immediately regrets.
Mm-hmm.
He gets high on this testosterone feeling of confidence and then does something stupid.
Yes.
Like when he kills Mike. You know, and he's like, I didn't have to do that. I'm so sorry. You know, like, control yourself like a fucking adult, man.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
this is unacceptable. And it kind of begins here, you know, him really, really realizing, no, that sucked. I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
That was awful. Uh-huh. You know,
And he's, you know, he's apologizing to his son. Yes. But like he is apologizing to him at the same time. He is, you know, apologizing to his surrogate son. Right.
Yeah.
You know, like just, you know, he's seeing both at the same time here. The performance on this is fucking,
it's
wild.
Really good.
Yeah. I don't know. Like,
well, he's going to get that monologue later too. It's, there's a great, everybody's five stars this episode.
Yeah.
Like nobody's phoning it in, you know, except for Christopher fucking Cousins. just kidding. Junior puts him to bed. Like these, you know, beautiful scenes where the child becomes the parent. Like this is a real thing that happens. It happened to me all the time as a kid.
Yeah.
And you put him to bed and he just starts kind of, he's drifting off. He's like, how was your birthday? You know, good. You know, get some rest. Hey, did you drive here? You know, he's like, yeah. You know, do you like your car? You know, I like it. You know, and then just as Walt's going to sleep, he goes, that's good, Jesse.
Yeah.
You know, very sweet.
Mm-hmm. I never noticed him saying Jesse there.
Oh,
in
really?
In previous ones, yeah. Or like I never made a note of it. It's mumbled, so you know. So like maybe I just didn't catch the caption there or something.
It might have been we all kind of switched to captions.
Yes.
At some point in the last 10 years, I feel like. You know, as a thing, but everyone I know does it.
The primary way
of age.
The primary way. So captions, like live captions on cable, used to suck, and that's how I watched this. And then basically up until, I don't know, 4 years ago, something like that, all of my rewatches were on DVD rips.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah, you know, no captions there. So yeah, I just, oof, you know, and then Junior taking the wrong name, like a champ there.
Yeah. Yeah. The caption thing has made me hesitant to want to go see movies in the theater.
Yeah.
Like I went and saw Furiosa and I really loved it, but I can't wait to watch it for real where I can actually tell what's being said.
I almost want to lie and say that I'm, God, that's terrible. But like they have the devices for people with, you know, hearing disabilities, right?
Yeah.
You know, where it will, you know, like simulcast them. I don't want to do that because it feels a little bit like taking a, you know, taking a parking spot.
Yeah. Even if there's nobody else, you know, it's probably closer to victimless in that, because there's, you know, once the movie is seated, you know, I don't want to start a stereotype that hard of hearing people are late for movies.
You know, oh, no. So,
yeah, just like, yeah, Germans make great mixtapes. But it's probably okay. But I also have the same hesitant. I've thought about that and then not done it.
I don't want to pretend. Yeah.
Saw for the fucking Lighthouse in the theater, and that was incomprehensible. The Witch?
Oh, no.
See The Witch in the theater? Yeah. Like, it doesn't work.
Ralph Ineson doesn't have teeth or a tongue.
Yeah, it doesn't reach into the range of human hearing. No. Like, whatever the reverse of a dog is the only thing that can hear him.
He communicates in, like, elephant frequencies.
Yeah, it's really weird. Yeah. So we cut back to the lab. Everyone is watching Jesse, and he's being videotaped. Nerve-wracking again, the scariest thing.
Yeah.
We get the time lapse of the cook, which takes a long time.
Yeah, seven and a half hours, it says on the wiki. Yeah, like, the time
day into night.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you take the little meth syringe and you stick it into the meth syringe tester.
Port on the on the Is Meth Good machine.
Yeah.
The box that you
the methameter.
Yeah. At any hardware store,
you can get basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Jesse watches as this number climbs up.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets up to 96.2. Really good. It's not as good as Walt's, but it is better than Gale's.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
And the chemist looks crestfallen. And you know, Jesse is as surprised as anybody. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yes. Big, huge fist pump. You know, no poker face. A good reason not to have him know about the plan, given that he just, you know, he acted like he least expected this. And then you get this moment of triumph and this absolute whiplash, you know, where he's, you know, Gaff puts his hand on his shoulder and goes, the first of many.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what do you mean by that? He's like, you belong to the cartel now. And Gus can't make eye contact. Gus knew this was likely, you know, like there's no way Gus wouldn't have anticipated this.
Yeah.
He's betting Jesse along with everything else he's betting.
Yes.
You know, Gus gets some moments of humanization in terms of being proud of Jesse during this at the end, but he's still a piece of shit. He's still betting with other people's lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love this foreshadowing, you know, becoming a meth slave seems to me one of the scariest things you could be.
Yeah.
You know, being a slave is a fear, right? Like a legitimate fear that I have. And this as foreshadowing of what actually happens in the next season. It's just one of the harshest things I can think of.
Yeah. It's like, what if your skill is way more valuable than your agency?
Exactly. Well, it's the, you know, the series is about that. There are a lot of people leveraging their skills for power. Mm-hmm. You know, your boss is going to need me.
Yeah.
You know, as a thing. But the dark side of that is, oh, no, you're right. I do need you.
Mm-hmm.
I have you now.
Yeah.
You know, like that only works if the person you're saying it to has any scruples at all. Mm-hmm. And the USA got none. Like you can't, it only works if your opponent feels guilt.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's really cool. Like I really like this, this little tease.
Yeah. This. You belong to the cartel now, delivered as if that's supposed to be the, you know, wonderful news.
Yeah. You know, and again, shades of when Tuco was telling this to Walt and the thing, you know, we'll get you a new family. It'll be fine. You know, like just straight up fucking like taking a person.
Yeah.
It's just scary shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So Saul's at the car wash and Skyler's like, you can't be here. Your face is on every bus bench.
Yeah.
He's like, no, he's like,
celebrities have to get their car washed too.
But no, I'm here to share something important. He's here because he had his guys take a look at Mr. Fabulous's accounts. Wonderful nickname for Ted. And literally minutes after the meeting where he got the money. Yeah. He went and leased a fully loaded Mercedes. 6,000 down and then 1,800 a month.
He's really rubbing it into. He's like, I got a good deal, you know, heated seats and everything,
yeah,
all that stuff. He's like, I hate to say it, but I told you so.
Mm-hmm.
And Skylar is furious.
Yeah.
You know, where is Ted now?
Yeah.
And we cut over to Walt. He wakes up, you know, puts on his glasses, you know, Junior put him up on the nightstand and fixed them, mm-hmm, as well. Like put the lens back in.
Yeah.
Cause Junior slept on the couch,
mm-hmm,
you know, take care of his dad.
Yeah. Junior yeah, lied to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, yeah, you know, when Walt comes out and like, yeah, no, I just say your mom, you know, your mom's going to kill you. Well, no, I just said, I lied, said I was staying at Lewis's place. And Walt is really sheepish about this. Again, this is real, saying like, oh, you know,
yeah,
I washed down these old painkillers from the surgery with some beer. Not my most sterling moment, I admit. Terrible, yeah, idea. He suffered the consequences.
Yeah. And he says, he lays out, you know, one of his core beliefs, you know, I can't have the last night be the way that you remember me.
Yes.
You know, you can't think of me like, you know, and you can see Junior also looks like he's about to cry.
Yeah,
this whole thing.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, listen, did I ever tell you about my dad? Mm-hmm. You know, and he does this monologue, you know, about his dad. That's like really real and really good.
Yes.
You know, his dad had Huntington's disease, when he was six, and he says something that this is very real. His mm-hmm mom and people all around him told him details about his dad.
Yeah.
And so he knew things about him, but it didn't match his memory.
No. Because he was incredibly young. You know, you're not really forming those long-term memories like that. And, you know, when he was five, he got diagnosed, and then it was downhill very quickly from there. You know, information is not experience, you know? Yes. And he's pretended that that's the person that he remembered. But the only real memory that he has of his dad is near the end in the hospital. You know, the smell coming first. Right. The smell of the cleaning products, trying to cover up the smell of people dying. And then just seeing his dad with this brain wasting disease, lying in bed, all twisted up, you know, being scared of him. You know, I can't even be sure that he knows who I am.
Yeah. You're breathing. Yeah. This rattling sound like a empty spray paint can. There's nothing in him.
Yeah.
This is very real. You know, this is, if you've ever been on somebody's deathbed in a hospital, that all twisted up and not really full of anything is a very well observed.
Yeah.
You know, this comes from a real place.
Mm-hmm. You know, and, then, and experiencing that when you're six, you know, I was in the room when both of my grandparents died and got to experience this. I'm still traumatized. I still have nightmares about it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not great. You know, it's just the reality of it comes with a package, you know? And then Junior again, showing some agency and pushes back, you know, he's saying like, remembering you that way wouldn't be so bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the bad way to remember you would be like how you've been this whole last year. Like at least last night you were real, you know? That's heartbreaking. This idea that Walt, who has trying to been put on this face, you know, this whole time to present this image and, you know, a man provides, like doing all of this stuff and actually doing incalculable harm, you know, to his actual memory. Like it's showing what he has been doing. The upside that he's perceived that is reasonable is also a false promise as well.
Yeah. It's almost literally like wire monkey kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, I have been providing, you know, like here's the wire monkey mama with the milk, but then, you know, they're like, there's no, you know, I wanted the soft one, right?
Yeah,
it's, exactly. You know, and just like, you know, of the consequences of what Walt has done, like this is, to my mind, you know, up there in terms of devastation, at least as airplane far as level. Interpersonal stakes, you know,
because the damage was
silent and unseen, you know,
and it's also not done yet.
Yeah.
You know, there's the sense with Skylar where it's like, that's never coming back. That ship has sailed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can get this grim mockery of a life that they'll get it for a portion in season five, but that's not coming back.
No.
But his son, you know, in terms of people, he had the wool over their eyes.
Yeah.
His son was up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then this just happens. And by, you know, there are a lot of things that are plausible that his son could chalk this up to. You know, his dad got sick. His dad had this gambling thing.
Yeah.
That's why he's acting off. But getting this little window of a real person, you know, like there's a feeling when you're a child, the first time your parents talk to you like a peer.
Yeah.
You know, that's extremely powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they're not holding this back. They're just another person. And I'm also just a person.
Yeah.
You know, just take that and then try to take it away. is just, it's rough. Mm-hmm. It's rough stuff.
Yeah. I just really, I don't know. This one hit me pretty hard. You know, like there is that moment where a parent talks to you like a peer, but there's also like the first time you really see them like experiencing a profound weakness.
Yeah.
You know? Like, oh, you're human here. You know, which I don't know, hit pretty hard on this one. Just like, oh gosh, this is a, you know, like this is going to be the one of the moments that he remembers. Right.
And Junior's old enough to appreciate that moment of seeing a profound weakness, you know, and just to accept it.
Yeah.
And his dad is backpedaling that, not giving him the opportunity.
Yeah. But yeah. When I say this is like silent or unseen or whatever, it's just there hadn't been the opportunity for them to actually talk as people around this.
Yeah.
And Walt has never like especially shown like interpersonal care for his son, you know, on camera beyond beating up those kids who were picking on him. Right.
And we don't even know where Holly is at this point.
Yeah. No, yeah. I haven't seen Holly for days.
Yeah. Holly's been gone this season.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like big ones raising the little one. I don't know.
Yeah. So just like you know, the first drill check-in and seeing just how empty how empty the appearances that Walt was trying to keep up actually were, you know, just this
absolutely
goal that
brutal
he thought
shit.
He was filling. Oh God.
Yeah. Brutal. We cut through any fallout from this. You know, we don't get to see Walt's reaction to this. We cut to the driveway where Junior is pulling away.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tyrus pulls up and just says, somewhere you should be. Also kind of a meth slave. A
little bit.
You know, during this.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter. The boss is away. You still have quotas, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we go over to Ted's office. We cut there and he's getting things set back up. He's on the phone just like trying to get his contracts back.
All of the signs from the front of the building are pulled down and in his office.
He did have all of the individual signs in his office, which is very funny.
Yeah.
This is somewhat sympathetic of Ted.
Yes.
Like him buying the car is not, but him trying to get the business going again is.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ted sucks. Ted's an idiot. I believe him when he first said he was cooking books because he didn't want his business to go under.
Mm-hmm.
That dovetails really well with the economic side of Breaking Bad of like, because our healthcare system is so shit and we're not guaranteed a living wage, we have to turn to things to provide.
Yeah.
You know, this is another side of that. Like even the people who are providing have to do that.
Yes. Also, though, him insisting that he has to be the one who is providing for them when he very clearly
is hubris.
Yeah, that is, yeah. You know.
Well, and the car, like, you got to have a good image. Like, that's fucking dumb.
No, it kind of shows you a little bit of what's back here. He wants to be a provider, too, right? Like, he's got this this paternal side, you know, needs to get here, even though his own house isn't in
order.
He's
got dozens of Jessies. They all work for fabrication.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Skyler's just like, how's it going? And he's a pig in shit.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, hey, the universe is trying to tell me something.
The universe, huh?
Yeah. I love it. You know, he goes, oh, I saw the car out there. He's like, well, you know, you got to project a successful image.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, hey, did you, you give that money to the IRS? You do that thing. And he's like, well, you know, I never really had that explained to me. I think I might be able to hire a lawyer and get a better deal than that.
Yeah, and Skylar tries to, she is going through, she's rapidly like de-escalating the subtlety here.
Yeah, no more patience.
Yes, no more patience. You know, saying like, you know, this is where he lays out, I need to, help my employees pay their mortgages. You know, Skylar's like, hey, there is no better deal. Like, you need to get your own house in order. Maybe the universe is telling you that you need to pay what you owe.
Yeah. And Ted says, like, frankly, this isn't your business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you're not part of my life. You chose that.
Yeah.
There's the door. And Sarah's like, this affects both of us. And he's like, no, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because she hasn't let him in. And then she moves to leave and she plays her card.
Yes.
You know, from whom exactly do you think you got that $600,000, Ted? Great Aunt Bridget? Like, you fucking idiot.
This is where we run up against Ted's limitations, let's call them, because he is making this version of the conversation about their failed relationship, right?
Yes.
And again, because he is fundamentally unable to pick up the cues on this.
I understand if somebody was just like, hey, you got that money from a mysterious source, I'm telling you what to do with it, but you can't ask any more questions. Like, it would be very difficult.
It would be, you
know,
it would be very
he's
difficult.
Not in the game. You know, he doesn't understand that there's chess being played.
Yes. He's not, I guess I'm, that is as much of a factor as his own limitations, but his inability to read. And the second he figures out that there is even a game being played, you know, this is going to come up in the next episode, maybe the one after that, where he's like, oh, you're blackmailing me. And that's really not what he wants, what she is doing. But like, okay, well, there's criminal shit happening here. And I have to assume that you are trying to implicate me somehow, that you're leveraging.
I love the idea
me.
Of blackmailing somebody by giving them $600,000. Blackmail's got a bad name.
Fairly Brothers ass character.
Yeah. Like, blackmail me, baby. So we cut over to Gus at Don Eladio's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's looking into the pool where Max died. He takes three pills.
Yeah.
We're going to see what this is for. Mm-hmm. And I love this whole scene is perfect.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No part of this is good, is below perfect. Mm-hmm. Jesse, you know, asks Mike, he's like, what the fuck's the deal? Do I not get a vote? Mm-hmm. You know, and Mike can't tell him the plan because he'll freak out, you know? Mm-hmm. But he said, you know, I promise you this, either we're all going home or none of us are going home.
Yeah.
The other reason why he couldn't tell him the plan, I think, is because he is literally risking his life.
Yes.
Like, hey man, do you want to come do this? There's probably a 50-50 chance we all get killed.
Yeah,
execution style.
Everybody at this party is going to be drunk with a gun.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I love Eladio's performance in this of suspicious, you know, the entire time. Like, he never quite trusts Gus during this because Gus is nervous during this. Gus is swallowing his pride to do this. And it's hard for him.
Yeah.
These are the people he hates most. And he knows this is a risk. He's basically flipped a coin and it's in the air.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
Yeah, but like Eladio shows up with his retinue and like makes Gus be the one to go in for a hug, right? You know, I don't embrace you. You willingly embrace me. You have come to you have come to meet my terms, right?
Yep, it's all power play stuff.
Yeah,
Jesse is presented to Eladio, and the chemist snipes at him, but you know he's not a chemist. And Eladio says, "I don't care if he's a pig farmer. You know, he cooks better meth."
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't speak Spanish. We'll have plenty of time to speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
tries to give him a little lesson, you know?
Yeah.
And then Eladio notices the gift box, you know, and gives a little look to Gaff saying like, hey, should I,
is it a bomb?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like if you check this out, is it a bomb? It's going to blow up when I open it.
And he goes and opens it up and it is the fancy tequila. The fictional fancy tequila that is going to be, you know, a bigger thing, or at least present more in Better Call Saul, but Zafiro Añejo, Sapphire. Yeah.
Yeah. Shows up more often. I don't think it has quite as big an impact.
No.
In that. It's weird when the entire law firm drinks it and gets poisoned.
Yeah. That's why there's no tequila. HHM. Yeah.
It's, yeah.
That's why it's so expensive.
That's why it's fictional.
They're taking on a lot of liability by selling this.
Yeah. And Don Eladio, who never lets the mask drop, you know, is very impressed. You know, he says, you know, even the bottle's a work of art. He's testing Gus this entire time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, perhaps it's too perfect not to share. He suspects it's poisoned, you know, instantly.
Yeah.
You know, but he's like, I'm going to share it. He's playing chicken with Gus. If, you know, if you're going to try to kill me with this, you're going to have to kill everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay with that? And then Gus like nods, you know, and then he's like, I'm going to share it with you. You know, he keeps upping the stakes here.
Yeah.
Eladio calls all over the serving staff. And, you know, this is, if you waste the drop, I'll cut off your hands. And he says it the same way he says everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like charming as hell.
Yeah. And starts handing out glasses. Giving a glass to Gus and then hands one to Jesse. And Gus has to step in and be like, okay, well, he doesn't know not to drink that.
He's an addict. He has to be sober.
Yeah.
I love Don Eladio be like, oh, none for you, you know? and this whole plan just, absolutely hinges on them not giving any to Mike. Like not being polite. So they toast and Gus importantly has a glass here. And Eladio just stares Gus in the eye and will not drink any until Gus downs his.
Yes.
You know? And Gus does.
Mm-hmm.
Salute. And then they call in the girls.
Just the girls. It's a party because there's girls now.
Yep. They just the girls show up.
Yes.
And circulate.
Yeah. One of the girls is, you know, wiggling up on Jesse and offering him a cigar. You know, he's initially mm-hmm. reluctant, but accepts, like, all right, well, it's, you know, okay.
What else am I going to do?
Yeah.
You know, like, also, if me is me saying no, an insult that's going to get my hand cut off? I have no idea what the fucking rules are.
He was really threatening to cut off those waiters' hands. Yeah.
God, what a nightmare. I have no idea what an insult is. Like, you're in a lifetime room with Don Eladio and you have no idea what offends him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, horrible.
Yeah.
And Eladio comes up to Gus, who's just sitting there, you know, and Gus doesn't know whether he's going to live or die at this point.
Yeah.
You know, for multiple reasons. And rubs it in. You know, listen, I had to spank you, but it's not personal. Mm-hmm. You know, once every 20 years, you forget your place. There's no place for emotion in this. You of all people should understand. Business is business.
Yeah. When it is literally the least business is business
yes.
anything has ever been. It's sangre for sangre.
Like, yep, exactly. Yeah. Gus has to use the bathroom, and Eladio doesn't trust him. You know, he mm-hmm. sends one of his bodyguards with him, make sure he doesn't get lost.
Yes.
There.
Yeah. And, you know, Gus is businesslike, back in the bathroom, you know, running the faucet, we think for modesty, a thing people do, which mm-hmm. I never understood because everybody knows what that room is for.
It depends on how explosive you are and like who's hearing it. Right.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. There's an intimacy to understanding the waveform of somebody's loud, messy shits.
Yes.
That I think is sometimes worth avoiding.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've run water before for just shit reasons.
Yeah.
You know?
Turns on the faucet, delicately takes off his jacket, puts down a hand towel, and then induces vomiting. It was poison. And he ate those pills that he took, it was activated charcoal. And he's mm-hmm. got to get this out because, you know, it's been working on him this whole time.
It's the bodyguard doesn't hear, and in part because they're blasting music. This is my favorite music drop mm-hmm. in the series. This is a song by the OCs, which is a band I don't know. Really? Mm-hmm. I'd heard of, but I didn't really know. But I think this song rocks.
Yeah,
it's really good. It's this little surf rock song that just like fits perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, outside, Don Eladio drops his cigar. I love that little bit. Mm-hmm. And people start dying, you know, just dropping down. I love the chemist doesn't fall. He just lays there with his eyes open mm-hmm. the whole time. Like he never gets a thing.
Yeah. I also love that Don Eladio is like, he's the elite, like the boss encounter. Like he's the one who doesn't fall because.
Exactly.
You know, he shows up. Yeah. His name's Purple. He's not going to fall.
Not yet. No, he's got a second health bar. You know, Eladio stumbles and Mike, who hadn't had a drink, but neither did Gaff runs towards him and Mike groats him.
Yes.
There. And we get this beautiful shot of Gus walking out, you know, from behind mm-hmm. as he walks out into the chaos of this party over this, like, and the music turns up as soon as he gets outside.
Uh-huh.
It's so goddamn good. I love it.
Just looking at this tableau, Mike strangling Gaff, Jesse looking on a horror, and then Eladio barely standing. Like he's kind of turned himself into a tripod a little bit.
Yeah. It's really good.
He's posted up. Yeah.
Yeah. He falls in the pool in the exact same place that Max did.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Mike, you know, like, okay, make yourself useful, find a gun, you know, to Jesse, like Jesse's got to be, you know, roped in here. And he goes mm-hmm. down and grabs Eladio's necklace chain and needs to have, you know, Gus wants his trophy.
Yep. He needs his proof. And Gus stumbles. He's been pretty poisoned,
mm-hmm.
you know, Mike and Jesse look like they're going to get into it. And Gus holds up a hand. He's still in command
mm-hmm.
And, you know, shouts out in Spanish, you know, Eladio is dead. His capos are dead. You have no one left to fight for. Fill your pockets and leave in peace or fight me and die. again, just one of the best, you know, badass Gus things to ever say.
That's wonderful. I love it.
It's incredible.
I hope to hell that works.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Mike and Jesse carry Gus out to the driveway, grab a car, try to find a car that has keys in it while all the girls are running out with money and jewels.
Uh-huh.
Love that.
Get the bag. Yeah.
And Mike gets in the driver's seat, but he takes a shot, because there's a guy who survived who's shooting. Mm-hmm. Jesse fires back and hits him once in like 15 bullets.
He empties the clip.
Yeah. It's real good. kills him.
Yeah.
And then Mike puts it, you know, you have to drive, get us out of here, kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like who knows where, just go.
Yeah. Just go.
Yeah.
Apparently like documents next episode reveal that the guy who shot Mike, and that Jesse killed, is the one remaining Salamanca outside of Hector. Right.
Yeah. I kept getting him confused with Gaff.
Yes.
Or when we officially came out. But yeah, he's the hidden Salamanca.
Yeah. Bonus Salamanca.
Yeah. He doesn't get a cool, he doesn't get a whole series. We'll get the prequel with bonus Salamancas. And that's the episode. It's kind of a quick episode of this show, but it's because the episode is paced so fucking well.
Mm-hmm.
It just keeps moving. Yeah. And I love that it's ending in this, like, Jesse, there's the scariest thing in the world to be sold into mess slavery. Imagine being in this situation where you're two dying people and uh-huh. you're just told to drive and you're in fucking Mexico
uh-huh.
in a hidden location. You're blindfolded on the way to get there.
Yep. Go, with one person who is like not conscious enough to respond to Mike and another who is bleeding out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Incredible stuff.
Yeah. This is, there's a lot going on here, even beyond the amount of incident here and how big it is for the series. But like, think about this as a mirror of Walt's plan for Jesse to poison Gus. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it is this echo here. Like, if Jesse was committed to the plan, like, he has both of these people under his thumb. Right. Mm-hmm. He could make this happen, but he's been brought into the fold. Right.
Yeah. 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 And he put it off enough to where he couldn't put it, it's just off now.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are times in which he told Walt he was going to do it that I think he was telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's just a line in which it stopped. And he might not have known when that was, and then absolutely nail in the coffin when Walt and him got in the fight. Told him to fuck himself.
Yeah. He sees them as safety and security. It's a future beyond Walt and his manipulation. Even if he fucking hates Gus, like, Mike has earned his affection, and you don't take out Gus and still have Mike. Unless it is very specific circumstances.
Exactly. Yeah. He wants everybody to, he wants to find some kind of stasis.
Yes.
We're going to get in this next episode where you start, I'm not going to cook for you if you kill Mr. White,
mm-hmm.
As a thing.
Yeah.
So great stuff.
Love it. Amazing episode. Front to back.
Mm-hmm. 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 What should people do if they like this show?
If you like the show, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and support this show and the network of many shows like it. You can get whole bonus shows and episodes. Recommend, if you like our media coverage, at the $5 tier, you get Unfilmable, the show where mm-hmm. we talk about horror movies.
Yeah. And you might like this. Mm-hmm. We're coming up on the end of season 4. Mm-hmm. And we got one really long season.
Yeah.
Left. And then we get to the movie and we switch into Better Call Saul mode, which I'm really looking forward to. Mm-hmm. I've seen Breaking Bad several times. I've only watched Better Call Saul once.
Mm.
So I'm very excited to go through and watch that again.
Nice.
I watched the first two seasons twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then when it was wrapping up, I did a rewatch of those, but mm-hmm. there are episodes I've only seen once. So it's gonna be really fun to dig in.
Yeah. We get to have Kim. We get to talk about Kim for a long time. Yeah,
Kim's great.
Yeah.
Kim's great. Chuck's great.
Mm-hmm.
Better Call Saul is very good.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
And if rate and review us, tell your friends, all that stuff. Join us in thanking Gwen, our producer.
Thank you, Gwen. Also composed our theme song.
Yeah. And until next time, salud.
Salud.